This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. The 2016 Winter Classic will feature the Boston Bruins against their arch-rival, the Montreal Canadiens, on January 1st at Gillette Stadium. The four-part series on Epix, Road to the NHL Winter Classic, has Episode 2 tonight at 10 o'clock. The show opened last week with the narrator being veteran actor Bill Camp.
When they play one another, everything is undeniably different. The noise, the pace, the sensation that real history is about to pick up where it last left off. Welcome to one of the oldest, deepest, fiercest rivalries in all of sports. Welcome to the road to the NHL Winter Classic.
Bill Camp has been in three Academy Award-winning films in the past few years with roles in Lincoln, 12 Years a Slave, and Birdman. His television credits include The Leftovers and Boardwalk Empire, and he'll be one of the stars in the upcoming Broadway play, The Crucible. Bill's wife is actress Elizabeth Marvel of House of Cards. Let's head to the Epix offices in Manhattan for this edition of Sports Jam and meet the narrator of the road to the NHL Winter Classic, Bill Camp. Bill Camp has the magic touch. No matter what role he has in what movie, it seems to be the best picture. Now, as the narrator to The Road to the Winter Classic with Ross Greenberg and Aaron Cohen, sounds like another award-winning production coming up.
Yeah, just a privilege, you know, to be a part of all of those things that you just mentioned. And fortunately, you know, I've been asked to, you know, participate in some things that some pretty excellent people have made.
A wonderful career, not only in film, television, and stage, as well as your wife. You both were in Lincoln together playing the Jolly, so quite a couple. But you're the narrator of this new Epix series that is in its second season now, The Road to the Winter Classic. This year, you have to be excited because it's the Boston Bruins, your team, going up against the Montreal Canadiens at Gillette Stadium.
In the center!
Even more than a third of the way through the season, mornings like this are still valuable for Claude Julien's club. They've been taking steps forward all season long, and the task for the rest of the month is to continue the trend heading into the Winter Classic.
All right, Frank, this is it. This is what we're all been waiting for.
Go to the point, he rims it, we go behind the net.
Go, go on, go, 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 Matt, go, Matt.
Good job, boys.
And you have grew up outside Boston. You've been a Boston Bruins fan all your life. What a thrill this must be for you. This has to be like a dream job. Is it better than being in these award-winning pictures?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to go. Yes, it is, actually. This is sort of a holy grail for me. It's about as good as it gets, you know, growing up, as you said, outside of Boston and being a Bruins fan. But also there's a, you know, it's kind of like Yankees, Red Sox deal, Canadians, Bruins. There's a love-hate sort of thing. I'm going to go out and actually, you know, pull some covers on myself and say that I wear Canadians stockings when I skate sometimes, and people get confused by that, but there's a certain part of me that has a great, you know, respect and those first hockey game I ever went to was a Canadians Bruins game at the old Boston Garden. So all of those, you know, early 70s Canadians players are, you know, very close to me as well.
So you kind of answered my next question, which was, can you have hate and respect? And when we hear the players talk, like P.K. Subban saying, the Bruins, I'm their worst nightmare. and you know that this rivalry is tough, and you hear, yeah, I hate the Montreal Canadiens coming from the Bruins. Can you have respect and hate together?
I can. I can't speak for P.K. I mean, he's the one on the ice and is actually, you know, in the game competing. So, sure, I think he's got to sort of generate that. Also, I mean, it's an engine for him because he's out there doing it. But yeah, sure, when you're out there playing, I would imagine, you know, for me as an outsider and as a kid looking at these two teams since I was very young, since I was four, yeah, I can definitely. I mean, I was both Guy Lafleur and Frank Mahovlich, you know, and Kenny Dryden in my driveway, as well as Jerry Cheevers and Johnny Busick and Bobby Orr. You know, so those were the two, those were the, you know, lineups that were against each other all the time in my driveway with my friends and neighbors. We'd go out and we'd play street hockey, you know, when it used to snow. And we would, you know, that was what it was. So, yeah, definitely.
You mentioned some of the greats of the Boston Bruins, and someone who's been on Sports Jam was Derek Sanderson. What are your memories of watching Derek Sanderson play with, obviously he's famous for the pass to Bobby Orr and the great flying goal?
He was, you know, he was kind of like a mystery to me because he was the coolest guy, you know, but it was like, I had no, I was like, he was so different and unique and particular than the rest of those guys, and yet so skilled and so good. He was a favorite, you know. I wear a Turk shirt at home, so he's still definitely, you know, up there. And he was, you know, his flamboyance and his, there was just a kind of color to him that we, even as youngsters, picked up on and found him terribly exciting.
Ross Greenberg and Aaron Cohen have also been guests here on Sports Jam. They do have, as I mentioned, the magical touch when it comes to documentary series or series like this where we really get a chance to know the players. Narrating this, obviously it's a trend now that we see in documentaries and series where they have actors who have a stake, somewhat of a fandom when it comes to these. How much was it for you? I understand just this week you were laying down some tracks as narrator.
Yeah, we I think completed the first episode this week, and it was you know, tremendous to be back in the booth and in the room with Ross and Aaron and Joe and the whole team, and getting to look at, you know, the opening and some parts through it and the close. And it's just it's an unbelievable team of, you know, of creators that are behind this. And yeah, needless to say, this year's for me particularly exciting because I do have a passion about the game and also about these two teams. I mean, it's really, really very, very exciting.
You bring your own special connection to this, as you talked about. What was it? What's Bill Camp's touch to the road to the Winter Classic?
My love of the game. I get to also speak the word, you know, the text. Aaron is such a, you know, he's the best.
These are the nights when they think a little harder about the fact that every piece of tape might make a difference. Every millimeter of a blade. Every muscle that will get called upon to do something unnatural on the ice. Something maybe even unforgettable.
I love language, and I love the, you know, he's able to articulate, Aaron is, in a way that's exciting and as an actor, a privilege to do things that happen in the course of playing the game that I think I have a little bit of sort of insight just because I've played the game and started the game very young, and also I still play the game. And so all of those little tiny, you know, indescribables that happen in nanoseconds and the things that happen in the course of a game, he's so gifted at being able to articulate, and he understands them. And I have a door and a little bit of a window into that. So I can add my understanding of those things from an inside kind of experience as opposed to being outside of it and just describing something I don't really understand. I kind of get it. Certainly not in the level that these guys play at, but at a level that's enough so that it still sort of fires what's inside of me that makes me still want to play the game, and also attracts me to, you know, still watching the game and wanting to be a part of this.
It wasn't that long ago that the Bruins did hoist the Stanley Cup. It took many years to get there, but you were back to hoisting up. And through the years, an amazing group of goaltenders who have been part of the Boston Bruins history. Is there somebody on the team now? Is it Tuukka Rask? Is it somebody else on the team now that you particularly enjoy watching?
I have to say that I really have always enjoyed, since he joined the team, and also he's from Nova Scotia, I believe, Brad Marchand. And I just really dig watching that guy play. And he's a left winger, and I was a left winger growing up, and he's smaller, and I was always smaller, and I really love his, you know, his tenacity. And he's really, really gifted and a great skater, and I love watching him. I also, Patrice Bergeron is just, you know, pretty magnificent.
So you're from the Boston area. You would know this. What will be the difference in atmosphere other than the size of the venue? We've already had a Winter Classic at Fenway Park coming up this January 1st. The big game, the road to the Winter Classic, it's all about, you know, getting there. But the big game will be on January 1st at Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play. So other than the size of the venue, what kind of atmospheric change do you see than the first one that was at Fenway?
More people and just a bigger, as a larger venue, you're going to, you know, attract a lot of people that may not have been able to fit into Fenway. You know, Gillette is twice the size at least. And I would say as, you know, a Massachusetts venue and with all of the hockey fans up there, it's going to be pretty packed. It's going to be pretty, you know, exciting.
You're in the heart of new hockey territory with the Islanders moving to Brooklyn where you live now. Is it okay being, you know, I'm a Penguins fan living in Jersey and about 10 minutes away from Prudential Center. You're a Bruins fan living in Islander territory. What's it like for you?
I'm partial to the Islanders as a transplanted, you know, Bostonian in New York. A lot of friends of mine are Rangers friends, and guys I skate with are Ranger fans, but I've always been partial to the Islanders if it has to come down to a New York team, same with the Mets. I'm really happy about it. I'm, you know, excited that the Islanders are just, you know, a 10-minute walk from my house. So hockey in the neighborhood for me to go to with my son is a plus. It's a real positive. I think it's great. I feel bad for the people in Long Island out in Nassau, you know, having to come in, but I'm selfish that way.
The road to the Winter Classic actually got you back in the game. You played up through 18 years old. You went to the University of Vermont, and there was a lot of good players there. So that's where your career kind of ended, but you got back into the game 25 years later because you watching these kind of documentary series.
Yeah.
And so tell us about the Puxedos and this other team that you play on in Brooklyn.
We just had a playoff run. It's a team. We play sessions in the fall, and the winter, and the summer, and the spring. It's about 13 game season, and then we go into the playoffs. It's a group of guys that vary in age from early 20s to my age, which is around 52. And the level is, you know, we play D3, Division III, and it's a pretty highly skilled level. You know, there are some guys that are really, really good that played college, and some guys play, you know, D2 and then come and also play in D3 as well. But it's just a fun once a week, you know. I play one team on Friday. We skate Fridays and Thursdays, and then we alternate those days. And then we also have the Puxedos skate on Sundays, and then we have some Saturday night games. It's mostly late at night. We play between 8:30 and 11:30. It's just really fun.
I just get this feeling, because everything you do is good, is that you're a good hockey player as well. Take us back to your high school days. What do you remember about playing hockey in high school?
I'm okay. I don't want to give you that. I'm all right. But I can compete, and I can keep up. And I would, you know, we were not that good. I grew up in a town called Groton, Massachusetts, and we were in the Independent School League, and we competed with teams like Belmont Hill and St. Paul's and St. Mark's and, like, you know, guys like Dougie Brown, who played for the Devils and for the Red Wings. I skated against him for like 3 years. There were guys from that area that were really good. And so the school I went to, we were sort of perennially around fourth place, fifth place in the ISL League. But what do I remember? I remember, you know, we never won any like championships or anything, but it was just, you know, really fun for us to compete, and we would host tournaments in the wintertime, which was nice. Schools from New Hampshire and Maine would come down and just, you know, destroy us, but it was, you know, it was a good blast, you know.
You're listening to Sports Jam on WBGO. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest tonight is veteran actor and Boston Bruins fan Bill Camp, who is the narrator of Road to the NHL Winter Classic, a four-part series on Epics. Tonight is episode 2. Let's head back to Times Square and hear more from Bill Camp.
Sure, there are months of hockey still left to be played before the Stanley Cup playoffs even start. But the results of these games always strike at the heart of what both of these clubs consider their most valuable asset, the twin prides of nearly a century's worth of history.
The Road to the Winter Classic coming up. Again, it's on Wednesdays, and it began on the 16th and will run through actually after the game. The game is on January 1st at Gillette Stadium between the Canadiens and the Bruins. What about these documentary series in sports now that really give you an inside look, especially with hockey? Why has it become so popular? Why do people want to know the ins and outs of this game?
I think it's related to just the culture of the media being more welcomed into these, you know, into these worlds of reality and really getting to see the nuts and bolts of how things work. And there's a, you know, it's kind of a natural evolution in terms of how you are going to present a story about something. And so it seems to me that there would be shows like this, you know, more and more and more, where we get to spend time outside of just the game and the event, and we get to see things in a more specific and real environment, you know, and that is also as much a part of the story as the event itself. And I think people really now, as we you know, celebrate sports and athletes, and they become in a way even more heroic on a certain level in our culture, and that sports become more and more valuable in the culture, and kids start at an early age, then there's a real need and a real desire to understand who these players are and what the life is actually like and what kind of work it really takes, you know, to compete at the level at which they take, because sports have certainly become more and more specialized and developed. I mean, they're all faster and stronger and way, 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 not more skilled, but the skill level in terms of parity is like, it's really amazing. And I think that just, it sort of makes sense that things like this show in itself would develop.
On a personal note, for me, when I watched the Road to the Winter Classic in anticipation of the Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals at Heinz Field, I went to that Winter Classic game, and I knew just about everything you needed to know heading into the game. It was a real good prep for you, mm-hmm. and you knew the insides and outs. At that time, Bruce Boudreau was the coach of the Capitals, and he was a wonderful character on that show. Who do you feel would be the person that you would want to hear most from? Could it be somebody that's very quiet like Zdeno Chara, or is it going to be a Brad Marchand who we know is going to be fun to listen to?
Oh, I don't know. I think PK is probably going to be super, super fun to listen to. I mean, that guy, he's just great, you know. I find him, I think they're right on target with both Brad Marchand and PK Subban. I think both those guys will hold up their roles pretty well when it comes to, you know, being the characters.
PK loves his fashion, and he looks great. He looks great on and off the ice. He is somebody that's a magnet. Either you're a fan or you hate him. That's only a test to his ability on the ice, but because nobody would care if he wasn't any good.
In Montreal, days off for PK Subban are spent pursuing any number of interests. And late on this afternoon, his focus is custom made.
All right, come on in. I spent a lot of time here
During the season, I come in and go through different materials, different styles of suits that we want to wear and outfits that we have planned for the season. The suits is all about like wearing it with confidence. You have to like it, you have to feel comfortable in it.
For Subban, looking the part is paramount. And some time spent designing suits downtown at Sarto Rialto is serious business.
How much different is it from narrating a script that is given to you than acting out a script in all these wonderful shows that you've been involved in?
That's an interesting question. Well, clearly there's the, you know, there's the difference of one is a visual form and the other is an oral form. You know, you're just hearing my voice. But at the same time, there's a need it's essential that it be natural, you know, and not illustrative. And that it's certainly, I think, given me experience that's improved my ability to be a narrator and it to come off as a natural description of what we're seeing and what's going on as opposed to something that's just read. You know, so I think it's improved my ability there. It's also a form that I really, really enjoy. You know, and the more I can do it, the more I learn from it. They're both, you know, similar in form that one takes a word or takes a sentence or takes a scene or a scenario and such and has to somehow describe it naturally so that it's accessible to the people that are listening or watching. So, you know, there are similarities in the two forms.
When did you know? Did you know that you were going to be a successful actor first, or that you weren't going to make the NHL? What came first?
Really, really, you don't really mean that, Doug, do you? Well, let's see. I'm still telling myself, you know, I hope I'm a successful actor every day. So. No, I clearly knew I was not going to be playing hockey professionally. I first started to want to be a baseball player, you know. I wanted to be a professional, you know, a player for the Red Sox. And then it was to play hockey. And then, you know, going back to your question in high school, it was like, it was so much, I made the varsity teams by virtue of hustling, by hard work. And that's how I got on those teams. Was not, you know, I could get myself up to like second line left wing and maybe a penalty kill, but it was all like really hard work. I had to really, because I was smaller and I had to work harder to compete, and these guys had better skills than I did. And when I got to be maybe, you know, it was around my junior year in high school, I was like, okay, professional sports, not going to happen for me. Although I did hold out a dream possibly because I also played soccer and I played competitive soccer. And I did play soccer in like men's league through my 20s in Colorado. And we did really well. But, you know, again, I was in it. Once you start playing against people that play at the level of college and you realize it's like, wow, you know, I should have only played this one sport from the age of five. And it was around that time, really, interestingly enough. It was in, I think, the early 80s, late 70s, that sports really became specialized in that way in this country. Because some of the younger guys that were coming up and I was playing against, that was all they did, man. That was like, they just played hockey. Like, we were just starting to recruit people when I was around, you know, a senior in high school, at my high school. Where other schools had, so.
Not only have you been in these wonderful movies, but you love the stage, too, and so does your wife. What is it about, what would be the ultimate role on stage that you haven't had a chance to play yet, that whether it be with your wife, Elizabeth, or not, what would you want to play?
Another really good question. Right now, because I'm just getting ready to start rehearsal for a production of The Crucible on Broadway that will start soon, and go until July. Arthur Miller's play, directed by Ivo van Hove, that Scott Rudin's producing. That's kind of, you know, right now, that's on my mind. And I carry the script around with me, and it's like, that's the role right now. It's just like, I want to play that role. So I would have to say Reverend Hale in Crucible. But Elizabeth and I did a production of Macbeth years ago, just down the street over at the what is now the Laura Pels Theater, I think, on 46th Street. We have been, you know, working on trying to get another production of that because it's, I think, the hardest play in the world to do. And we want to take at least one or two more cracks at it. So that would be nice.
She's a star on House of Cards, another popular TV show. You were on Boardwalk Empire, very popular. What does it mean to be a cast member of 12 Years a Slave? What does it mean to be a cast member of Lincoln when it's announced that it's the top picture?
My roles were so small in those movies that it's nonetheless just an honor, you know, because both of those movies are massively important to the history of this country and relevant to our society and stories that have to be told. And both directors that made those movies, you know, it was just a true honor to work with them. And to be part of, you know, stories are really how we learn. I mean, it's what this show is in a way. Epics, you know, The Road to the Winter Classic is a story of all of these individuals, and yet it's also a team and how a team works and all of the human characteristics that go into athletics and especially the game of hockey, and that these, you know, stories are just, in my view, the best learning tool and mechanism. That's how I've learned most of the things in my life, you know, and through theater and stories being told. And I, you know, just to be a part of these two particular stories, but then also Birdman, it's just a giant privilege as an actor to be a part of them. So I'm super proud, you know.
They're important roles, even though you might not think they're major roles. It's all important to the script.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's true. So that every little small moment within those two stories and lots of good movies and important movies like that, they're all just parts of a whole that wouldn't be without them.
So look for, when you see 12 Years a Slave again, look for Radburn. Look for John Callahan when he's in Black Mass. Look for him as the crazy man in Birdman, and look for him as Mr. and Mrs. Jolly. You can find him and his wife, Elizabeth, in those. And he's the hunter in Boardwalk Empire, but also the narrator in The Road to the Winter Classic on Epics. It's already underway, and it will be on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock.
In Montreal, the glory has been unparalleled.
Well, there goes the cup, Big John Béliveau, turning it off as he's done so often.
In Boston, the spirit, indefatigable and unbreakable.
Behind the net, the Sanderson door! On the door!
So many times they've met with so much in the balance. And in so many clashes, the passion has become unhinged. Tonight was yet another chapter in one of the longest shared histories in the game. And now the shadow of their next matchup, outdoors on New Year's Day, is already looming.
As this unfolds now, are you going to go to Gillette Stadium?
Yeah, I hope so. Yes. I will be spending Christmas in Vermont. My family lives in northern Vermont now. So I will be traveling from Shelburne, Vermont, down to Foxborough, where I'm sure there will be Robert Kraft knows how to put things together, obviously, there at that place. They know how to throw an event. So I'm really looking forward to being there. I haven't been there since I was a little kid. My dad took me to see O.J. Simpson play the Patriots. It was like 72, 73. So, yeah, I'll be there.
I still haven't got over the fact that the Penguins lost to the Capitals in the Winter Classic in Pittsburgh. Does it matter to you? I mean, are you just there for the atmosphere? Will it matter if the Bruins beat the Canadiens?
You know, I hate to I don't want to be partial, but you know, it's, you know, may the better team win, but absolutely, you know, that game matters. I always want to see my team win, but you know, it'll be a fantastic event regardless. You know, it's going to be an awesome game, man. It's just those games are always really competitive and exciting, and it's just, you know, it's just what happens, especially when you're outside. And the atmosphere is such that it's, you know, electric.
Congratulations on being a part of the Epics team here for this documentary series. We look forward to seeing you in the Crucible here in New York City. Thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Thank you, Doug. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Sports Jam is a WBGO News production. You can check out all the extended podcast versions of the show by going to WBGO.org/SportsJam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Join me next Wednesday night at 7:30 for another edition of Sports Jam. Until then, I'll see you at the game.